In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. Brothers and sisters, we find ourselves in the most joyful, most celebratory time of year, that where we celebrate the Lord's resurrection, the days of Pascha. These days are days of great celebration, great joy, great jubilation. And this celebration only continues because we're on our way to celebrate another wonderful event in salvation history, and that is Pentecost. The descent of the Holy Spirit, the forming of the church, the incorporation of mankind into the salvation that Jesus Christ has come to bring. This day of Pentecost happens 50 days after Pascha. Right in the very middle of that period is the Feast of Mid-Pentecost, which we celebrate this Wednesday. This Wednesday is right at the halfway point. So we're right there in the midst of this celebration. This week, I was thinking about what wonderful thing to talk about for the sermon this Sunday. And I had a number of things in mind because there are so many things that the church gives us to talk about. But it only occurred to me what the sermon should be on Friday, with a discussion that I had with someone. Someone came to the church here, knocked on the door, and we started a conversation. They were a Jehovah Witness. And we spoke about God, spoke about faith, spoke about the church, talked about salvation. Had this lengthy conversation, and it began actually with him asking me what the sermon's going to be on. Little did he know that this conversation was going to lead to the sermon. In this conversation, I asked him what he knew about God, how he knew it, how he knew that what he knew was right. And he told me what he knew about God, told me how he knew it and why he thought it was right. And I realized at that point that his faith was lacking, and it wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault. This was the faith that was imparted to him. This is the faith that he was raised in. This is the faith that he knew, but it was insufficient. It was lacking. He, being a Jehovah Witness, espoused a heresy that the church had condemned in the 4th century. 1,600 years ago, the church had already dealt with the error that he had come to believe in. And I asked him about the foundation of his church. He said, it's from the 19th century. 19th century. That's crazy. The 19th century. Didn't our Lord come at the beginning of the 1st century? Don't we number our centuries even from his birth? The 19th century. But he was born into a Protestant family, if you consider Jehovah's Witness part of Protestantism. And this is all that he knew. And he wanted to glorify God the best that he could. And he did that faithfully. But there comes a time in our lives where we realize that what our earthly parents may have given us is not enough. It's ironic to talk about this on Mother's Day, but our earthly parents are earthly. God's whole intention in bringing us into being is not for us to just live on earth and be earthly beings, but to become his sons and his daughters, to enter into his kingdom, to have the fullness of life and truth and wisdom and light and all of these wonderful things that he has for us. In the conversation with this gentleman, I mentioned him. I said, I'm an Orthodox Christian. I'm a priest. And I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in his Father, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the one God in Trinity. I believe in the incarnation, that God has become man. And you know how I know this? Because the church has given me this faith. The church has raised me in this faith. And that church didn't start in the 19th century. It didn't start with Luther, Calvin. It didn't start with the Roman Pontiff. It started with our Lord Jesus Christ. He set up this church and he said the gates of hell won't prevail against it. That it's the pillar and the ground of truth. That in this church we find salvation. We come to know the truth and the truth sets us free. And the truth sanctifies us. And the truth makes us whole. And we become part of that truth, incorporated into that truth. Being part of the body of Christ with him as our head. On this Mother's Day, we should really contemplate who is our mother. Who is our mother? Likewise, we can think, who is our father? We certainly have earthly parents, but we also have heavenly parents. We have God as our father, and we have the church as our mother. Think about our baptism. What happens in our baptism? But we're reborn. We're remade, refashioned in the womb of the church. Just last Sunday, we had that wonderful celebration of Annabelle's baptism. Her earthly mother brought her to her heavenly mother for rebirth, for adoption by God the Father. What a wonderful thing. And this parenthood of God the Father, this parenthood of the church, is so necessary for us. Our earthly mothers and our earthly fathers do everything that they can, but we are all earthly. I'm a father myself. I have children. I know my limitations. I know my shortcomings. I know my sins. I know my inabilities. I cannot give to my children what God has prepared for them by myself. I can't do it. No father, no mother, no matter how dedicated, no matter how intelligent, how wise, how many resources they have, they can't give salvation to their children. They can't overcome sin, death, and the devil. They can't bring them to the next age. Only God can do that. And He's established His church as our mother to help make that happen. Now, one of the things that dawned on me from this conversation was that for the Jehovah Witnesses and for many outside of the Orthodox Church, they have things mixed up. The children set the rules of the household. Everyone knows that this turns into disaster, where the parents don't set the rules and the guidelines and the discipline, but the children set the rules. They call the shots. Parents sometimes give them unlimited freedom to outline what life's going to be like. And of course, it ends in disaster. Well, what happens when that happens theologically? What happens when that occurs in our faith communities, where we gather together as children and we decide what the teaching is going to be, what the doctrine is going to be, what the morality is going to be? What happens when we just get together and just decide everything? Chaos. It is utter chaos. No household can be run by the children. And certainly the same holds true for the house of God. It's His house. The scriptures speak about Christ as the bridegroom and the church as His bride. St. Paul talks about this so beautifully in Ephesians. He talks about the marriage between Christ and His church. And he gives this as a model for our own family life, for the husband and the wife. And this model is so important for us to consider, because as the fathers say, to have God as our Father, to truly know Him as Father, not just as Creator, not have some false ideas about who He is, but to truly know Him as Father, to experience His life, that we have to have the church as our mother. We have to be born again. We have to be raised according to the commandments of our Father. We have to be nurtured at our parents' table. We need that guidance. We need that discipline. We cannot make it to the Father ourselves. Children can't set the rules, can't chart the course. The parents do that, and they raise their children to maturity. And what does the Scripture say maturity is? But to come to the full stature of Jesus Christ, to be like Him, to be incorporated in Him, to share in His life, to become one with Him, because He is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. This oneness of life, this oneness of truth, this oneness of the church, this is the very goal of our Christian life. When we consider the church as our mother, we can see this wonderful comparison to our earthly mothers. There are three main phases in the ministry or the service of a mother to her children. The first is obviously that of giving birth, the pregnancy, the difficult labor of giving birth to a child. Those of you who are mothers, you know that difficulty. I don't. You know how much sacrifice is involved in that. I don't. The next phase is the raising of the child. And perhaps in some ways there's more sacrifice, there's more labor, there's more difficulty, because it lasts longer. And the challenges are different, not just physical, emotional, spiritual. This upbringing is the second phase. And the third phase is when the child has become mature, that mother still remains so to her children, and the children then care for her in her old age. That we honor our mothers, as the Lord teaches us in the Ten Commandments, from the beginning to the end. For what she gives to us, how she raises us, how she protects us, how she teaches us, how she brings about our healing, shares compassion with us, fellowship, gives us inspiration, hope, encouragement. She's our moral compass. She gives us direction on the straight and narrow path. She gently brings us to an uncompromising truth. She always has a listening ear. She sets boundaries for us. She offers us guidance. She gives us our Father's commandments without changing them. She has such wisdom through experience. She offers all of these things to us to bring us to that maturity. But perhaps the primary thing that our church does for us, that our mother does for us, is helps us to come to know our Father. You know, when a woman falls in love with her husband, she gives herself to him entirely. And they're wed and they become one. And the great desire for that mother is for her children to come to love and to know their Father as she loves and knows him, so that there can be that oneness with the whole family, that integrity. So the great desire of an earthly mother and of someone who becomes a Christian, that there can be this integrity, this oneness in God, this knowledge and experience of God. The church knows who God is, and the church wants to manifest him to us so that we can live in him and abide in him and love him as she loves him, and as he loves her, and as he loves us, that all might be perfect in this love. The commandment the church gives us is to love one another as Christ has loved us. This is the Lord's new commandment. It is this love that we're growing in, that we're called to, that we're destined for. Coming to maturity is not an easy thing. It's very difficult. It's a long process. And at times, we're chastened by the Lord. At times, we're disciplined by the Lord. At times, we don't agree with his truth. But we submit ourselves to him because we know that his chastisement, his instruction, his guidelines, his discipline, that it leads to our correction, to our salvation, to our union with him. We honor our mothers for giving birth. We honor our church for new birth. We honor our mothers for raising us in what is right. We honor our church for raising us in God. And the third aspect of motherhood is when we become mature, when we become adults, when we become full Christians, people who are filled with God's love. What do we do then? But we honor our mothers by caring for them, by supporting them. The Lord, when he was on the cross, and he had a mother, right? On Mother's Day, we can't forget her. On the cross, he didn't forget her either. He said to St. John the Theologian, "Behold your mother," and to his mother, "Behold your son." And St. John the Theologian cared for the Virgin Mary. Our job is simply to care for our earthly mothers, to honor them in their old age, in sickness, in whatever it is that they need from us, honor them. And likewise, to support our church, to realize that our church needs our care, that the church, to be what it's supposed to be for all of mankind, needs us and our respect and our honor and our support and our care to make that ministry happen. If we become mature and we come to that love, we'll love our mother like God our Father loves our mother, like he loves the church. And he sacrificed himself for the church. He laid down his life for the church. He gave everything for the church. If we come to this fullness of love, that's what we'll do for our earthly mothers and for our spiritual mother, the church. This mystery of the church as our mother is something for us to contemplate, because it's through this ministry of the church that we come to know our Heavenly Father. It's through this ministry of the church that we come to know his salvation, his love, his mercy, his compassion. It's through this ministry of the church that we come to know every good thing that he has for us. And ultimately, we realize that we have a shared life with God, and we have a shared mission with God to call all into that oneness. Jehovah's Witnesses, people of different Protestant confessions, Roman Catholics, non-Christians, atheists, everyone, to call them as God has called us, or their mother, the church, has called us to that oneness of life, that oneness of God's kingdom. Christ is risen.